Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Goddess Alive Radio. My name is Kimberly Moore, and I am your hostess with the mostest this evening. Welcome to the show. I'm so delighted to be airing from Wilmington, Delaware, after a 2-month stint off practically while I was making the move back north from South Florida. So I'm so excited to be where I am. 4 seasons coming. Although we've had a little bit of a heat wave, I felt like I brought Florida with me for like a week. But otherwise, it's been wonderful to be home where I was born and raised. So very excited to be here and chatting with Gail Jessen from A Series of Adventures this evening, which is so cool. And we're here on the full moon, which is also Nemuralia, the ancient Roman festival of the goddess Diana. So for those of you who are ready to jump after this broadcast, come over and join us at goddessfullmoongroup.com. We're going to be talking about the goddess Diana this evening, myself and Brandy Ossett, and we'll be doing a guided meditation for the full moon tonight. So the full moon was full actually this morning, Eastern time, and it was an almost eclipse is what the astrologers are calling it, because it's kind of out of the eclipse season, which is normally September and March. So we still have 2 eclipses coming in September, a lunar and a solar eclipse. But with this Nemuralia, with this full moon, excuse me, the universe is bringing us a little bit of early rock and roll. So if you check motherhouseofthegoddess.com, you can see what Mary Lomondo has to say about it. And, of course, we always love the horoscopes from Chani Nicholas. And you can find those at ChaniNicholas.com. So to figure out what all the good stuff that's happening. The big news is Saturn went direct last Saturday. Did everybody feel that? It was like an earthquake now, I think, in some cases. So Saturn has been retrograde for months. So this is the planet of karma, of time, of those lessons that we may still need to review, going direct. So it may have felt very challenging this past week. Some interesting things. I experienced a little bit of it myself with an unexpected visitor. But you know what? We put our big girl panties on, pull them up, and brace ourselves. The next retrograde is Mercury on August 30th, but we are already under the shadow. So just take a deep, deep breath and remember, retrogrades, especially the Mercury retrogrades, are really wonderful opportunities to review, to kind of see what comes up and, you know, take a big, deep breath and see how you can do things differently. And, you know, of course, watch all of your electronics, travel, all that kind of good stuff. Just another few housekeeping notes at mysteryschoolofthegoddess.net. We have a few new courses going up. Charlotte Alaya has Shadow of the Tarot. She also has a Tarot Virtual Circle that is going to be starting in a couple of weeks. So make sure you're on the email list so you get all of those wonderful email notifications for her courses and all of our other instructors. We've got some great things coming up for September now that I have landed and pretty much unpacked. We're getting ready to roll out our fall schedule, which is going to also, through Mother House, include a celebration of the sacred waters for the goddess Yemaya and Oshun on their feast day, September 7th and 8th. So, and we're going to be doing a special Samhain Goddess Full Moon group. So make sure you're on the list for Mother House and Mystery School of the Goddess. That way you won't miss anything that's going on. All right, so let's get Gail on here. And I just want to let everybody know, if you go to aseriesofadventures.com and, of course, on our blog talk promo, there are the links for you. But you definitely want to click through, read through some of Gail's articles. She is such an inspiration. So Gail works as a coach and a fire starter. She's involved with Daniel Laporte's Desire Map, Hello, Core Desired Feelings. We've talked about those before. And she also packed everything up, sold everything she could, and started traveling a year ago. and has only just recently come back to the States for a very brief stint before she heads back out on the road. So we're so glad to have grabbed her. Make sure you connect on Instagram and Facebook too, because her posts are delightful and it's like traveling with her. So let's get Gail on. Gail, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Kimberly. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on. That's a great intro. I love that. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you are such an inspiration, and I was really excited to have our audience hear about your story. I love reading your posts on Facebook and your blog and, you know, following you on Instagram and all the good stuff, because you're a really good photographer as well. So you really pull everybody into your journey, which is so multi-layered. I really love it.
I love when people can see even just a piece of themselves and even just a piece of my journey, because I think that's part of the fire starter in me, right? Like, whatever piece you connect to, that's telling you something, right? And it then doesn't become about me and my travels, but it's like, what is that telling you? So I love it when I can hear that I've made a connection to someone, because it tells me what's sparking in them, and that's everything.
It's so good. It's so good. So tell us a little bit, you know, let's give our the audience a little bit of background information on you and where you were a year ago.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's where I was a year ago is where I had been stuck for many years, coming on decades. And I was living a very normal, quote-unquote, traditional, quote-unquote, life by the rules, quote-unquote, meaning degree, car, house, mortgage, right? Climbing the ladder, doing what you're supposed to do, quote-unquote. And I knew that I wanted to travel. I knew that I needed to travel, and this had been a lifelong thing, and I had traveled, but it wasn't enough. It needed to be as a lifestyle for a number of years, fully nomadic. I know that I had it in me, but I was so afraid and I was so ruled by fear that I just stayed in this very traditional life, because that's what good girls do, right? I mean, who can't relate to that on some level? I was so stuck there. I was so afraid. I was not living in the paradigm that I'm living now at all. I was discovering it, but I was so stuck. I'm scared.
And you're so right. You know, we don't always know what we can accomplish if we're too afraid to take that first step, to just go for it.
Yeah, and trusting. I had to come to understand the universe as love and trust, as opposed to punishing and retribution and fear, right? Unprogramming from all of that took a number of years. But what finally was sort of like the last straw, I had been really, really sick, and I finally got to the point that I thought I deserve to feel well. That was actually the very first recognition. And so sad that at 33, it was the first time I had said to myself, you deserve to feel well. You deserve to feel healthy. I had never said that to myself. So I started fighting for a diagnosis. And I went through 8 doctors and endocrinologists and internists and OBGYNs and just fighting to get to a diagnosis. It took almost 9 months. And when I did get to a diagnosis, it was Hashimoto's, which I had never heard of. It sounds like sushi. It still sounds like sushi to me, but that's...
Right.
I've never heard of it before.
It sounds like a destination, not a disease.
It does, right. It had just never occurred to me. And my doctor put her hand on her throat, and she said, you have Hashimoto's. And it just sort of like, I didn't... And I heard autoimmunity, and I heard thyroid, and it was just all sort of swirling. I wasn't really hearing her. Yeah. What I was hearing, metaphysically hearing, was seeing her hand on her throat and hearing, of course you're stuck, of course your voice is stuck, of course your truth is stuck, of course you're not living the life you want to live, of course it's imbalanced and stagnant and sick, of course. And it was so obvious to me in that moment. 1 year later, is when everything got sold, everything, put renters in the condo, quit the career at 15 years, bought the one-way ticket to Bali. It took me a year to fully deconstruct, but it was that moment where I said, you're done. You are sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you're done with this. And from that moment forward, it was an entirely different game. Entirely different game.
That is one of my most favorite statements on your site. That you kind of stand there in your power, tired of being sick and tired. And for me, I have an autoimmune disease. I have lupus, so I get it. You know, I mean, I've had mine for almost 15 years now and made the transition 11 years ago of no medication. I'm going to, you know, do what I can to control it naturally and through my diet and health and wellness. But, you know, even in 11 years, I think I'm still making those steps every single day, you know, to really maintain that position, you know. So it is amazing to me that in 1 year you went from there and stuck and, you know, like as you said, the good girl life to a one-way ticket to Bali. And what made you choose Bali?
I felt like Southeast Asia was going to be particularly challenging to me from a weather perspective. And that might sound silly or shallow, but the humidity and the heat really scared me, actually. And with adrenal fatigue and my Hashis and my thyroid being off, that's like a legitimate concern, seeing that sort of heat and stickiness. But there was a retreat happening. It was an inner goddess retreat, and it was one goddess per chakra, and it was an 8-day retreat, and it was all about alignment. And I thought, no, you know what? I have to do that. I have to do that come hell, high water, or humidity. And that's what initially got me to Bali, and I fell in love, as most seekers do when they arrive in Bali. And I'm going back again this fall. I have a feeling this will be an annual pilgrimage for me. I loved it so much.
Beautiful.
But what had to happen to get there, though, is I had to finally, yes, it was sick and tired of being sick and tired, but I also just had to realize you're worthy of your desires and you're worthy of feeling the way you want to feel. And you don't owe anyone an explanation. Insofar as you're not proactively hurting anyone, if your dream is to travel and live a nomadic lifestyle, whose business is it to say that that's irresponsible, right? So it's just, I just came to a point that I finally understood that you're worth feeling how you want to feel. So the passion of knowing that that would heal me, I really firmly believe that travel will ultimately put my autoimmunity into remission because I'm following such a blissful, aligned path. How can it not heal me? And so all of that just became stronger than the fear. All of that was just stronger than the fear of not going. So, yeah.
You are truly such an inspiration, as I said in the intro, that I love following you and your passion and your bliss, which bliss is like one of my favorite words and states of being, I love seeing it pouring out of you. So let's talk for a minute about desire map and core desired feelings, because I'm a huge Danielle Laporte fan. My core desired feelings are, I write them every single day, multiple times. So go ahead and share with the audience a little bit, like, about core desired feelings, and if you'd like to share what yours are.
Absolutely. Let's swap. I would love to hear yours, too.
Yeah.
So my core desired feelings are, I am wild, I am magical, I am supple, and I am luminous. Those are mine.
I love the supple. I just, when I was looking at that on your site, I thought, what a great wellness-oriented, holistic-oriented word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's so beautiful.
Such a masculine career and such a masculine mindset and a masculine space for so many years that supple was my nod to the divine feminine. Supple was my nod to the goddess. couple with my nod to the fact that I can be fluid and flexible and vulnerable and safe. That's what supple means to me.
Oh, how beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
So beautiful.
I'm sure that many of your listeners are probably familiar with either Danielle or the Desire Map, but I'm happy to talk about how I approach it, at least, and that's that I was always the addicted to overachievement girl, right? The sort of check the list, get the trophy, get the promotion, pat on the back. External validation was some form of addiction for me, and the Desire Map to me felt like a permission slip to let all of that go, because instead of focusing on what's the achievement, what's the goal, what's the thing that you're trying to accomplish, instead you're focusing on how do I want to feel, and then from that moment forward, then you pick what you want to achieve. It's not as though, oh, I'll get the promotion and then I'll feel really magical. No, you feel really magical and then you decide if you really want the promotion. I went all the way through a master's degree and all the way up through a department head at work before I finally admitted to myself, yeah, you actually don't want any of this. And if I had had the bravery to instead, 2 years ago, to admit to myself, no, you actually want to feel wild, and you know what won't make you feel wild is an administrative gig at a ginormous institution. So what's abort mission, right? If I had been brave enough years ago. Everything happens for a reason. We learn what we need to learn. But my core desire feeling ultimately gave me the permission to admit I'm wild, I'm supple, I'm luminous, I'm magical, and I will not feel that in a cubicle. And I frankly won't even feel that owning stuff. I won't feel that in my condo. I won't feel that owning a car. I won't feel that with a sofa. I will feel that for now, as it's showing up in my life, I will feel that in a little red backpack with a laptop and a lot of one-way tickets. And so that's exactly what I did. You let yourself feel the way you want to feel.
I love that, Gail. For me, Desire Map was a huge game changer of shifting, you know, from what do you want to how do you want to feel. And, you know, I was the same way, very type A personality, you know, but, man, just that, it was just so simple, you know, and how it's presented with the process with Danielle, you know, and she's so awesome, you know.
Yeah,
so
speaking
it,
about
but
goddess,
it really,
right? I mean, speaking about that.
Yeah, she is. And, you know, and to see, I think the other thing that is really cool about Desire Map and Danielle Laporte is that, you know, we actually, I mean, I've been following her for years, and to really see her process in action and the manifestation of it is true. It's truth. It happens. And I was the same way, like with, you know, my business and everything. Man, the shift I made once I identified my core desired feelings, same thing. You know, it was kind of a wild experience and really awesome. So mine did not include a one-way ticket to Bali, though. That's okay.
I always say to my clients, it will look exactly.
Because I get to watch your pictures.
Well, it's actually a really good point, and it reminds me of something that I'd actually like to share, and this is something I share with my clients, is that the way that my past looks now is not to be compared to anyone's past, yours, otherwise, or even my own past 2 years ago. And my baseline for that is that wild is my core desired feeling now, but initially it was free. And I was too afraid to say wild. I knew that it was wild, but I literally couldn't put it down on paper because I knew what that looked like, and it scared me, and I just didn't feel ready yet, and so I used freeze. And so when I got my diagnosis and I went on a medical leave from work, there was very little freedom in the sense that I was concentrated on fixing or at least getting a handle initially on the autoimmunity, and I was so sick all I could do was walk one block to the grocery store and walk one block home, and that was my day. And I was exhausted, and it was epic. And it was this sort of breakdown process. It's like my body finally slowed down enough that everything just shut down, and I started to sort it out. So from that place, for me to feel free, the extent of feeling free was knowing that I could walk to the grocery store and lace up my sneakers, and I could walk home. And that had to be enough for me, and I had to let that feel like an adventure. If I held myself accountable to the wild, core-desired feeling that's me in a backpack in Bali on the top of the mountain, I would have never got out the door because I would have felt like a failure right off the bat. So
Right. You
have to meet yourself where you are. You have to meet yourself where you are, and everything is progress. And that was my baseline. And so, yeah, I am on the top of a mountain in Bali with my backpack and sneakers laced up, but it's because I started walking one block to the grocery store and focusing on healing and how to do that. That's why I'm now able to do what I do, because I started and met myself where I was with a lot of compassion.
I love that. And I think that in the process of identifying your core desired feelings, I think that the self-compassion and kindness is so vital. And I did the same thing. You know, my first year, there were things like, you know, sacred, radiant, that shifted then to Shakti and radical, and, you know, very different, similar but different, you know. And I think it's the same thing as you're saying about free and wild. You have to meet yourself where you are, and that's where I was at that time, was still healing from my divorce and, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. And then I wasn't ready to stand in full power yet. You know,
right. But you let that be okay. I mean, you have to let that be okay, or else you'll never get out the door. Yeah.
It is. That is so true. And for me, the journey has been, you know, to where I landed 2.5-3 weeks ago, back full circle at home here in Delaware, back to my four seasons and, you know, this place where I'm surrounded by loved ones and supported and where I can really be in my creation. So it's an exciting process. I recommend it highly for all of our listeners. You know, just it's well worth the desire map. You know, check it out. Connect through a series of adventures with Gail too. You know, lots of good tidbits on your blog as well. You know, in leading people, coaching sessions. Hello, can we?
Yes, there's one-on-one coaching, and there's a group coaching program that's offline right now, only because I'm working on some international retreats. But eventually, the online version will also be back up. So, yeah.
Excellent.
I love working. No, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh,
so
sorry.
Go ahead. There was a delay. No. We can convince. Yeah. What can we convince? Let's cook up a plan.
We can convince Gail maybe to come on over to Mystery School of the Goddess and play with us.
Absolutely. I should, actually. Let's figure out a collaboration. Listen to this. We're committing with all these listeners. We're going to figure it out.
That would be
absolutely
so good. It would be so good. We'd love to have you doing a group coaching over there. And, oh, gosh, love it. And I love that your journey began with an inner goddess retreat. So can you share a little bit about, like, how that happened and what was your experience?
Yeah, absolutely. So full credit to the organizer. If anyone follows Tanisha Tantrika online, she's the Moon Woman on Facebook, and her website is Star of Ishtar. Yeah, so she's in this realm, right? So she wrote a book called The Inner Goddess Makeover, but then her retreat was to take one goddess and one chakra per day and journey with the light and journey with the shadow and journey in your own understanding or embodiment or disassociation from that goddess, from that chakra, and move up from the root all the way through to the crown over the course of these, 8 or 9 days in Bali. And there were 22 women in a yoga shala in the rice paddies on a mountaintop. Like I said, everything happens on a mountaintop in Bali. This is how it works. And
how great.
It was a very powerful communal. I mean, when women come together, and this is no secret to you or your listeners, obviously, but when women come together with a shared vision, and that vision includes healing, there is literally nothing that we can't do. Nothing. And that was what I experienced in Bali. It was powerful.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
That is, and what a magical place to
yeah.
experience Goddess and everything, you know, and to begin your journey. So tell us a little bit more about your travels, because I know that'll be of interest to some of our listeners. And I have to tell you, your time in the cottage with your with
yeah.
your wise woman, I had to, was like my yeah. favorite. Like every morning, I'm like signing in going, what's Gail doing? I got to, you know.
She was absolutely,
what's going
she is
on
an
there?
Old, wise crone, and I love her so much. I mean, talk about archetypes. Oh, my goodness, I love her. So, yeah, I will tell people about Latvia because I think of anything that I did over the course of the last year, from a storyteller perspective as well as a writer, I mean, Latvia is just right. That's the book that's waiting to happen. But what the experience
yeah.
was is there's a house-sitting website for anyone who's interested to travel budget on a budget. You can find people who need their house to be sat. Usually it's free for you to stay there. There's background checks and you connect. Like, there's a process. But there's people who need house sitters, and then there's you as a traveler that can house sit. So I found online the granddaughter of this woman named Velta, this 80, what was she? She turned 87 when I was there. Just old,
oh
communist
gosh.
Latvian woman hanging out in the woods in this off-grid cabin. So no plumbing. I was at the well hauling water every day. There was no heat. I was in the woodshed chopping wood and hauling wood every day. There was a garden. It was very, like, I'm in the middle of the woods, and I watched it change from winter to spring. And so I got to hang out with this woman who, the things that, and she didn't speak a word of English. I spoke three words of Latvian, and we coexisted in this house for 3 months, and I would make bacon for her every morning, and I'd fry her an egg, and she would boil potatoes with sauerkraut for me every afternoon, and we just got into the sweetest rhythm, and it was such a learning curve for me on what we define as need versus want. And what you, I went intentionally to prove to myself that even in a 55-liter backpack, I owned too much stuff, and I didn't need everything that I had, and we're talking about a life that fits on my back, literally on my back. And
right.
I went there to prove to myself that even in that context, even in my nomadic context, I wanted Latvia to challenge my notions of what I needed to own and what I needed to feel safe, which is really the baseline of that, right? And it just, it taught me how little we need to be happy, how close I wanted to live to the earth, and how connected and grounded and peaceful I was, literally keeping myself alive every day in this very physical, visceral way. I grew up in suburbs and cities. I'd never experienced anything like that. It was profound. So that
right.
was Latvia. That was a lesson in the universe telling me you're safe and you own too much shit. That's what that was. That was me reconnecting with what really, really, really matters. That's what Latvia was for sure. And Velta, who was just adorable, and we had such a sweet relationship.
And, you know, the crone archetype, as you pointed out, came through so strongly in your post and so joyfully. And it was just amazing. It was amazing. I've enjoyed seeing your journey and following everything, but I think that really was my favorite, you know?
Yeah, she was a lot of fun. And part of me wishes that either she could speak English or I could speak Latvian so I could extract all of these stories. I mean, imagine what this woman has seen in occupied Latvia over the years and free Latvia over the years. I remember one time very clearly, we took the bus into town and we went to the grocery store together because she was paying her electric bill at the grocery store. And when we were paying for something at the register, some coins fell out of her wallet and a passport fell out of her wallet. And my brain just exploded. Like, where has this woman been? What has she seen? Like, I assigned her to the cabin, right? Like, that's Delta.
Right.
That's where she lives. And then suddenly it was like, oh, the things that she has probably seen in her lifetime and the places she's been. And I'll never really know, but the assumption just has to be that this woman has something to teach me, even though I had no idea what it was going into it. And I remember that moment
right.
so clearly. It was such a beautiful moment to connect with her and realize we're both travelers. She gets it. She gets why some weird girl is living in her attic. She knows. She knows what I'm doing.
Right.
It was just a really peaceful moment. It was beautiful.
That is marvelous. Absolutely marvelous. So,
yeah.
Gosh, so where has been your favorite place?
Oh, Bali will always hold a special place in my heart. Albania is where I was most recently, is one of the most beautiful countries that I've ever been in, hands down. It's also less developed. I won't say undeveloped, but it's less developed, and it was a challenge. I think it's for experienced travelers, I'll put it that way. But it was a beautiful
okay.
country. It was so beautiful. The water, you could go, 200 yards out into the ocean and see all the way straight down, and it was crystal clear turquoise. It was just beautiful. That'll stick with me for a long time. Such a beautiful place. The spice market and the butcher market in Marrakesh in Morocco was an intense experience. I really enjoyed that. The smells and the heat and the way of life and I'd never been in something that immediate. That sort of in your face intensity, and that was definitely Marrakesh. Is very in your face, and it was a beautiful city. Yeah, those are some of the standout memories, I think.
Fantastic. So what are some of the new places that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, so I
Or do you
like
even
said,
plan
kind of
that
to...
far ahead? I mean, I guess that's a good question.
Yeah. Well, I found, so here, this is also something very interesting, and this has been a lesson in trusting an abundant universe, truly. And it's been that I initially made every reservation, every Airbnb, every bus ticket, every plane ticket, every minute mapped out, color-coded spreadsheet. I was coming at my experiments in feminine energy from a very masculine way. And the first 6 months of my travel was just to the letter making the trains run on time, right? And I've learned not only to trust the universe, trust my own capabilities, trust that I can get myself from point A to point B, that I can solve problems and figure it out, keep myself alive, get on the train, whatever it is, because so far I've been doing all this solo. So learning to trust all of that has meant that now 60 days out is about what I plan. I have a rough idea of where I would like to go or what I would like to do, but I am also completely open to the lightning strikes that take me somewhere else entirely. But I usually plan about
right.
2 months ahead of myself. So this fall, as soon as I leave the States, I go back to Bali. I'll be in Thailand, and I'm thinking the Philippines, but I don't know because that's 90 days out. You'll have to ask me in another 30, see? I'm only planning
right.
it 2 months at a time. So, yeah, and that's been a good lesson for me to just slow down. It's going to be okay. You can take care of yourself. Even if you miss the train and the Airbnb cancels, you can handle yourself. I mean, that's a very specific way of describing that lesson from a travel perspective. But just in life, I think especially the good girls who are hyperactive and responsible, just calm down. It's okay. It'll work. It'll work.
Yeah.
And coming from a, a former stress case who worked her body to the point that it broke, I mean, that's such a huge shift, and I've come to trust that so implicitly. It'll work out. Just calm down and get in the flow. It's going to be okay.
That's great. Well, And let me ask you too. So, you know, I've done a fair amount of traveling in my life. Rarely has it been completely solo. So I'm interested in your experiences as a woman and a solo traveler. You know, what's your wisdom on that?
I think there's an interesting dichotomy and an interesting balance that you have to understand and sort of honor both sides of this equation. At the same time that you need to be concerned about your safety, you also need to trust that you're capable and the world is generally a safe place. And both of those things can be true in the same moment, right? So you need to be a savvy traveler. You need to take precautions. You need to be aware of your surroundings. You need to be tough enough with a firm no, and you need to not be afraid to embarrass yourself or other people if you're leaving a situation, whatever it means, right? You do need to be comfortable with stuff like that, and you have to develop a bit of a tough edge. But also, traveling around the world solo for a year has taught me people are good and kind and helpful, and it's the outlying situations that threaten your safety in any way. It really is the exception to the rule, or it has, in my experience, it's been the exception to the rule, I should say. And so that's not to discount the dangers, potential dangers, and that's not to discount any female travelers who have had traumatic experiences on the road. I'm not discounting any of that. My experience has been that people are kind. And so if I let myself get afraid of all of the things that women have to be afraid of in this world, I would have, again, never left the front door. So I chose to believe that people are good and kind and helpful, and that's what I have found, because that's what I'm choosing to believe, and I still stay alert. But I have felt safe. There have been very few instances where I didn't feel physically safe on the road, very few.
Good. That's wonderful to hear.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's really, really good to hear. And I think that we need, as women, we need to be aware of our surroundings, even at home. I mean, you know,
absolutely,
sadly, it's not
absolutely
just a travel situation. I think that's just a smart position for any woman, period. But, you know, I love to hear that you look at the world that way. I look at the world very wondrously. You know, I had somebody tell me once that it was like, you know, that I just have this passion and enthusiasm for new places and new experiences, and I love it. You know, it just makes me really happy. And I look at things the same way. Like, you know, if I need help, I'll ask. And I pretty much trust that somebody's going to help me, you know, if I need it. So I love that you have successfully proven that out. It's wonderful.
Yeah. I think you're stronger than you think you are. I don't even know the people listening, and I can say to them without a doubt that they're stronger than they think they are. And until you're in a situation where you are alone and you're, you know, waking up alone in a weird country and you've got to catch the train and you don't speak the language and then you have to feed yourself, and then, I mean, you figure it out. You rise to the occasion. You're stronger than you think you are. You're more capable than you think you are. And if you trust yourself and you trust a loving universe, you will sort it out. If that's what's making you afraid to travel, or if that's what's holding you back, let that go. There can be a lot of things that hold you back from travel, but if that's it, let that go. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. So how did you get the start to travel? Like, I mean, you know, was there somebody that advised you, or how did you do your research to, you know, because I think, you know, within the world we both travel, Gail, there are a lot of people doing these amazing things, you know, or more and more seem to be doing it. So how did you get your start for that? If somebody's saying, okay, I'm looking at Gail and I'm going, yes, I'm going to Bali too. Where would you tell somebody to start?
So I followed, and this is just Google searching and Facebook searching until you find someone or many someones that you enjoy. They're, the Solo Female Traveler blog network is pretty rich. You have to find someone that you resonate with. I found, doing this in my mid-30s, that I didn't always resonate with the 19-year-old gap year backpacker in the hostel. That just wasn't how I was traveling, and that's fine. That can be someone else's thing. It's not against that. It's just that wasn't what was going to resonate with me. So I found the bloggers and I found the travelers that were already being vocal online about their experience. I found ones that worked with me and I followed them around online. One of the most useful resources for me, I will plug this because it was so, so helpful. There's a woman named Kim Dinan. She's an author and a travel blogger. She wrote a book called Life on Fire. It's fantastic. It's part book, part workbook. And she also, with her husband Brian, they traveled full-time for over 3 years together. She created an e-course called Travel School e-course, and it breaks down everything from how to prepare to travel and save money and which credit cards work best abroad and how to sell your stuff. They came at it from a long-term travel perspective. But even if you're interested in shorter-term travel, it really runs the gamut on preparing you, everything from gear to mindset to understanding shoulder seasons and tips to get the, you know, lowest fare on plane tickets and aggregator websites. It really breaks it down. It was incredibly helpful. So I just devoured that course in my preparation because I knew that was the type of travel long-term that I was going for. But even if it's not long-term, that still was a very helpful resource for me, or even just following her on Facebook was helpful for me.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. And of course,
talking to people who had done it.
Follow you, too.
Yeah, and now you're welcome to follow me. Exactly. When I post about travel, I am mindful to post about what I wish I'd known before I got here or what I wish I'd known before I got on the road. Even if that's not literally articulated in my post, I definitely look at it as an opportunity to show people what's possible, but also to be real. Some of the posts that get the most traffic are the posts where I kind of melt down and say, here's the deal. Here's when travel's really hard. Here's what doesn't work. Here's what no one wants to say, but here's when it really sucks and you want to go home. And I am able to, hopefully, to motivate people to see the beautiful sides, but I'm also going to be real with people and tough love about what it's really like, you know, on day 363 when you're so over it. You know, it happens, and I think that I'm known for talking about both sides, I guess, the good and the bad. That interests you, then absolutely follow me on Facebook or my blog, and that you will get plenty of that. Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So give us some of your inspirations, you know, besides like Danielle and the Desire Map and Firestarter. Like, what are some of the other things that you consume that uplift and renew you?
Oh, that's such a good question. I just last night was watching a Gabby Bernstein live stream as she's getting ready to launch her new book. I attended her Spirit Junkie Masterclass in New York just about a month before I left the country last summer. And she works for me. I think you need to find the people that inspire you and work for you, but there's something about her style and her approach and her delivery, her sort of tough love, straight shooting style that really appeals to me. So Gabby is an inspiration for sure. The Desire Map, obviously. I have found that when I am most connected to my own intuition, whatever I need to figure out either comes to me from another source or something I find online, or comes to me in just that very intuitive divine download, right? So anything that I can do to stay connected to that inspiration and intuition, ways that I do that, Kirtan chanting, tarot, oils, these are ways that I most commonly, I wish it was a daily practice, I'm not standing here saying I'm the morning practice person to follow, but when I am connected, that is what I'm doing. I'm not about to claim, I'm not that girl at 5 a.m. on her yoga mat with the mala beads and then she's on Instagram. I love those people. It's not me. It probably won't ever be me. But when I'm connected, I am connected with crystals and goddess iconography and drawing my intuition out using tarot, oils, all of that, chanting, singing, stretching. That is when I feel like I'm most in line with where I want to be. So that keeps me motivated.
Oh,
that keeps me inspired. Maybe that's,
yeah.
I don't know if that's naive or inspired, but yourself, can you say yourself? I mean, can that be what inspires you when you're connected, right? I hope so.
Yeah.
If you're,
I absolutely agree. You know, and
yeah.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I get going with my mantras and same thing. It's pulling a card. It's playing with my crystals. It's spraying a goddess mist. It's offering it up. You know, and I think that, you know, we do it daily, some of us, sometimes multiple times a day, and sometimes you can go days without, but it's a font that we return to, and I love that,
mm-hmm.
You know. Do you carry crystals with you? Is that something that has space in your red backpack?
Absolutely. I have three in my bra right now. And I have, of course.
I love it.
And,
okay, what three?
I do. Okay, I have a selenite, a raw rose quartz, and a amethyst in a Metatron cube. That's what's in my bra.
I love it. Oh, my gosh, that's awesome. Good.
Yeah. So I have a little bag of crystals, Hindu iconography and statues and goddesses and oils that stay in my carry-on with me. And I have found, in terms of a grounding ritual, I'm in so many different countries and locations and Airbnbs and hotels. I'm all over the place. But what happens is the second I open that bag, I lay out my grid, I do whatever juju I feel like I need to do, then that's home. That's just where I am.
Yeah.
I'm not in a weird apartment in Albania. I'm just home. And this is what home looks like for the next 3 weeks. And then I pack them up and I go to the next place and I lay them out. And then that's what home looks like for the next 3 weeks. So people ask me, like, do you feel untethered or do you feel lonely or do you feel disconnected, like not having a home, not having a car, not having stuff? Like, what does that feel like? And I have really come to understand that if I'm connected to myself, if I'm connected to love and source and whatever these external sort of touchstones are for me, it doesn't matter at all where I am and it doesn't matter at all what I own. I feel perfectly comfortable, grounded, and at home as long as I have that dialed in.
I love that. And, you know, that's a very interesting question, and it didn't even occur to me to ask if you ever feel alone. And probably because I love personally being alone. I mean, like, you know, that's totally my rock and roll. But so it wouldn't have occurred to me. But so I'll ask it since you brought it up. Do you? I mean, how has it been traveling alone, you know, and you're kind of making, like, new friends and new acquaintances everywhere you go, right? I mean.
Yeah, I feel like, so I'm, and this will resonate with, I would imagine a vast majority of your listeners as well, but the highly sensitive, empathic, clairsentient introvert, right? So, meaning I have a very high threshold for being alone. Let's just say it that way, right? I have a very high threshold for alone time. But I have found also that the same thing with feeling like I'm at home, as long as I'm dialed in, I don't actually feel lonely because I feel metaphysically connected, I feel metaphysically grounded, I feel supported. It's also 2016 and I can hop on Facebook Messenger and talk to who I want to talk to in most countries most of the time. So I can absolutely reach, that was not a plug for Facebook, Skype, whatever you use, it sounded like an ad. However I stay connected and connected to my clients and connected online, I'm obviously very active online. So I don't. I mean, there's the rare moment where I get just this twinge of oh, I kind of wish I was home for this reason, or I wish this person was on the road with me for this reason. But for the most part, I just feel very peaceful and grounded. I feel like I'm healing. I'm still repairing my nervous system. I'm still repairing my gut, still repairing my adrenals. So I feel like I'm in this very supported cocoon that's made up of my passions and what I want to do and travel. And it's still, I haven't hit the point yet where I feel lonely on the road. I feel very connected on the road.
That's so good. It is so good. And how has it been maintaining your business? I imagine you've been in some pretty out-of-the-way places. How has that been for connectivity and from a business standpoint?
Yeah, so it has it's led me to be, just from a practical standpoint, very tech-heavy and paper-free, which I actually appreciate. Like, environmentally, it's very freeing to not have an office, actually, and everything that I need is either this little external hard drive or it's online. It's on this tiny, you know, MacBook Air, also not a commercial. But it's, I feel like it's such a such a portable, it's liberating, actually. It's liberating because I came from the big glass corner office with all the stuff, and it's so liberating to me that it's a laptop in my carry-on. And my carry-on being my house, my backpack. Connectivity is tricky. There's definitely countries that are better than others. There are Airbnbs that say they have Wi-Fi and they don't, or it's not great. That supple that we were talking about earlier, to bring it full circle, I have had to understand what supple means when applied to a business on the road, right? I can't break down in a fearful, scarcity-based mindset panic of, oh my God, I will never make money again if I can't get my Wi-Fi online in Albania. I have to step back and say, you know what? I might be offline for 2 weeks, and that might have to be okay. And I might get online at the next location, and my people will be there, and the internet will be there, and I will be there, and I will reboot. And I've had to be very flexible and understanding with that. And when I came from a world of masculine deadlines and achievement, that has been a big mind shift. But I've had to. The situation is, I've had to adapt like that. I think it's a very healthy adaptation for me.
It is. You know, it's so interesting, just in a very small way, the past couple of weeks for me with the move of really setting the boundaries, saying, no, I need complete downtime, offline time, and also then realizing I didn't have to be Chicken Little. Like, the sky didn't fall in. It didn't in a couple weeks,
right,
you know?
Right.
And it actually set the stage for me to move forward in the way I really want, you know, which is more offline time, more nature time, more me time. So I would imagine that, yeah, that would be a pretty exciting, although, you know, having traveled for a year in the Middle East myself for business, I know. Like,
yeah.
That's the countries where all of a sudden they decide that, like, Skype is the devil and you don't have Skype anymore, you know?
Yeah, like, Skype was banned in Morocco, and that was really, that was tough. And it's like, all these tiny little things, you can't possibly research every little thing about every place you're going. And so in Morocco, I use Zoom exclusively, and you just do what you have to do, right? That suppleness. And I think it was a very interesting lesson in, again, trusting your own capabilities and trusting that the world won't come crashing down. I used to approach my job that way in my career, and it was 100% ego. Clearly the office will fall apart if I don't stay here for 12 hours, right?
Yeah.
I am important to the point that if I don't answer this email, the whole institution will grind to a halt, right? Like, it's really, I mean, really. I did that for 15 years. I was in that ego phase. It's crap. It's total crap. We know it's crap in our gut, but we get wrapped up in it. So having to step out of the ego and having to step into a more loving, trusting place and understanding that things are going to be weird for the next week, and I might have enough Wi-Fi juice on my phone at a coffee shop to do something on Facebook, but I'm not blogging and I'm not calling my clients. And it just is what it is. And you know what? I've made it a whole year, and I have more clients because of it. I don't have less. The sky didn't fall. My ego might be bruised, but that's fine. She needed a little tough love. It's okay. There's nothing. There's nothing that you can't do when you just ease up. And that suppleness, you realize how supported you really are. You don't have to fix everything. You don't have to do everything. The world won't fall apart. Go offline and take a walk. It's okay. I've just had to learn that balance. And I'm still not perfect at it. I am light years beyond where I was, but I'm still not perfect at it.
I think it sounds like, I mean, the transformation is just amazing, you know, from point A to point B with you. And what a beautiful gift that you've been able to share your journey with so many of us, you know. That has just been, again, amazing, you know. That's one of the things I adore. I mean, I was an early adopter for social media. You know, obviously I work in social media. So, you know, for me, there's that, I love that thrill of being able to go, oh, look, there's Gail there, and there's this one in Australia, and there's, you know what I mean? Like, I love that in the mornings and stuff. You know?
Yeah.
But
it's
to be
tool.
Able
I mean,
to...
No, go
yeah.
ahead. We just had another delay. Go ahead. To be
yeah.
able to connect
I was gonna
with people,
say,
right, is what you were saying. It's so beautiful.
It is. And for you to be so transparent with what's happening and documenting this journey for everyone is really a gift.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm happy that it's resonating with you or pieces are resonating with you. And it's, like I said at the top of the hour, if there's any piece of anything that I'm doing that connects to anyone, it's really just the spark inside of them. That's the fire starter, right? And then it becomes their story. I may have been a point of inspiration. I can't tell you how many people have emailed me pictures of their first passport, which, like, almost like the desire map. Like, my clients finding their core desired feelings makes me emotional. And people sending me pictures of their passport or their plane ticket, or even if it's like, I went on a road trip 5 hours from my house, but they never had. I get stuff like that all the time in my messages, and oh my God, it just tears me up. Because that's not because of me or any piece of my story, but because they saw in themselves something that me as a fire starter, I just sparked it. They ran with it. I didn't run with anything. They got the passport. That's them. So I get so moved when people, even if they're attributing this gratitude to me or my story, I fully recognize and reinforce to them that this is now your story. I may have sparked that for you, but now you're the one with the passport. So now it's your turn, right? Oh, I love it. I love it so much.
So beautiful. It is so beautiful. So for our listeners, what didn't we cover? Is there anything that you would like to share, you know, or like, you know, a core message, anything like that? I mean, that's always a tough question. What's your core message? But, you know.
Ooh, core message. Yeah, I think I have one sort of like housekeeping thing and then one more like more core message thing. And I'll get the housekeeping one out of the way quickly, but I'm planning a retreat in Maui in February, and it is all about the root chakra, turning on your fire, Pele, the volcano goddess, reconnecting to your life in about 16 women, and we're maxed out. So it's a small, intimate retreat. It's for a week in Maui, Kundalini, volcanoes, beaches, chakra, all of it. We're doing it. So that information and that registration is coming out within the next few weeks, and it's in February in Maui. So just to sort of perk people's ears up about that, if that's something that they're interested in. And particularly people who maybe travel is scary, travel in a group or travel to a retreat, let that be the drug that gets you hooked. That's your gateway. Retreats are always the gateway to travel, I promise you. So that's an experience for people to come and let's learn together and let's activate that root chakra and let Pele guide us to no more apologies, just lives on fire, right? That's what it's going to be all about. So that
I love that gal. You know, and
so
Pele,
excited.
She is so amazing. She interestingly was our full moon goddess for July, and and we had to switch out another goddess because she kind of came in and stayed, and you know, she's such an architect. And when you're talking about changing your landscape, that's Pele.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing.
Oh yeah.
So,
yes.
Yeah. So
Pele is
beautiful.
One of those tough love destroyer creatrix goddesses, right? Like, she will burn your shit to the ground, but she will also rebuild it with you. And I love her so much for that. She's not messing around. Like, you will not be able to live in your excuses and your stories that don't serve you. She will not let you stay there, but she will also help you rebuild once she's burned it all down. And I just, God, I love her for that. So yeah, it's
so
going to be
true.
A great week.
Great.
I'm very excited to get that launched. Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, we would love to share it through Mother House too. So you and I will stay in touch, and you'll, you know, we'll be able to pick that up for you to share with our audience.
Absolutely.
As well. When
this is
details.
Definitely the community. I mean, if anyone is going to go to Maui and journey with Pele, it's going to be the people who are listening to this. So I will absolutely, we will stay connected, and people can, if you don't find it on my page, you will see it. Kimberly will get it on Mother House, so you'll have the opportunity. But yeah. And then I think more, the less logistical, or like the less sort of sales pitchy, thank you for letting me do that, but I would say that you deserve to feel the way you want to feel, and you deserve to be healthy, and you deserve to live the life you want to live in a passionate way without apologizing or making people comfortable. That's what I would say. You deserve all of that. Don't wait for anyone to give you permission for any of that. It's no one's job to give you permission to live that turned on, lit up, engaged life. It's all you, and the only thing stopping you is that you haven't done it yet. That's it. So that's what I would leave people with. Go do it. Go do it already. You're supported. It's safe.
Yeah.
Trust that. You're going to fall and fail and get up, and all the while you're going to be supported and you can do it. So if there's something that's, whether it's travel or launch a business or leave that relationship or go for that, do whatever it is, you know what's brewing, go do it. Stop talking about it and go do it, because you're supported and you can do it, and you deserve to have it, and you deserve to not apologize for it. That's what I would leave people with.
So good. So good. And for those people who would like the extra support, if you want to just take a minute to, Gail, and tell us about how does your coaching work? Like, you know, if somebody's hearing this and is going, oh, I'm so intrigued. Like, you know, what's the difference between your one-on-one and your group coaching, and how do people connect with you on that level?
Yeah, so the one-on-one coaching has a different price point than the group coaching, as you can imagine. So just on the logistical front, that's a difference. The one-on-one is just me and you. Sometimes it's video calls, sometimes it's audio. I move you through the desire map process to your core desired feelings, and then we can also continue on with each other and implement those core desired feelings into practical day-to-day. You know, so I say that I'm wild, but then I'm in the grocery store on a Tuesday afternoon, and what does that mean? Right? So what does it mean to be wild at that point? So we figure out how your core desired feelings can integrate into your life. And in the group coaching program, there is still a live coaching component. It's fewer calls over the course of the full program, and it's as a group. The calls are as a group. So that's the difference. So some people know that they can learn just fine with online material and the occasional call. And other people know that they want the one-on-one attention, and they want that VIP experience, and they want the feedback to be immediate, and they want it to be about them and their experience, and that's fine, and that's available to them. So, the group coaching program will come back online once I can calm down the Pele content planning for the retreats, and that group will come back online very soon. I'm also revamping it, making it even better, even stronger, even more comprehensive experience for people online. So I will be adjusting a little bit and then relaunching it. So, yeah, those are two immediate ways. But I do have, even though it's not related to core desired healing specifically, I have a low-cost sort of entry-level e-course that is a very good kickoff to all of this, and it's called Awaken. And it's a very good start for that initial clearing the field, getting ready for this type of work, understanding what your fears are, understanding the moments that you can lean into love and trust more, this sort of pep talk, get over yourself. There's a little bit of that in there. There's a little bit of self-love. There's a lot of support. But that baseline e-course is also a great place for people to start.
Oh, beautiful. What beautiful offerings. So good. So a series of adventures.com, right? And and then you connect through Facebook and Instagram and all the good stuff. So pop over there. The link is also in the Blog Talk promo. And Gail's very easy to find because, as she said, she's online, tech heavy. And that's a great thing. So, Gail, it has been such a pleasure. I am so excited about everything upcoming. And Pele, wow, makes my heart sing completely.
Yeah.
So good.
Me too.
This is so good. So I will ask one final question because now I need to know. So what Hindu goddess are you carrying with you?
Oh, I carry, you know what I'll do? I'll post a picture on the Mother House page of my little altar in my house right now. But I have, I have Kali, because as you know, with my relationship with Pele, I love the goddesses that burn my shit down and help me start over. I have Ganesh, because Ganesh then helps me clear it all away, right? What Kali has burnt down, Ganesh comes in and helps me clean it out. I have Saraswati, because my career in healing and the arts and writing and all of that is really important to me. And I have Lakshmi, of course, because my relationship with money is energetic, and I love it and I welcome it. And so those four little statues come with me everywhere and keep me grounded in those messages.
What beautiful, oh gosh, what wonderful, wonderful deities to have with you. And some of my favorites.
Yeah.
So that's so beautiful. So beautiful. Good. Well, Jai Ma and Jai Ganeshi.
Yes, Jai Ma.
You know.
Yes.
So he is so important, isn't he?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I love him. He just feels very safe to me. He's a protector and he's a helper. He's very safe and warm. That's what I get. I just love it.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, so beautiful. And your expression in this world, Gail, is amazing. So thank you for sharing it with us. And
thank you for giving
me
the opportunity.
It's so great. And you and I will connect online and we'll get some of your goodies up for the Mother House audience. Make sure they know all about it, especially that Pele retreat. And I have actually a young woman who was a friend or is a friend and was my assistant for a couple of years who moved out to Hawaii and just recently posted pictures of like lava moving and forming and creating. And I'll tell you, it was just breathtaking to watch it like happen in front of your eyes. And that's so Pele. It was beautiful.
Yeah. That's exactly the energy. It's movement and it's change and it's going to feel a little scary, but it is so supported and safe, and we're not just going to tear it down. We're going to build it back up. It's going to be a really transformative week.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, you would certainly, everyone, be in capable hands with Gail. Certainly. So, I love it. Yay. Okay. Well, Gail, thank you again so much. And so we're going to have to catch you in a couple months, hear about your latest adventures. And you have
absolutely
an open invitation to come back anytime.
Thank you so much. I will. I've had a great time. I appreciate the conversation. It was lovely. So glad we finally got connected.
Me too. Thank you so much. And to all of our listeners, thank you. We are back on a regular schedule now, weekly, every Thursday, motherhouseofthegoddess.com, and you can check out all of the interesting women of power like Gail, who are going to be joining us in the future. And we've got some really great things coming up with goddess and women and all kinds of divine manifestations. It doesn't get better than that. So stay tuned, everybody, and have an absolutely blessed full moon and Nemeralia. And talk about Wild Gail, that goddess Diana, you might want to check her out.
Yes, I'm feeling it. I felt Saturn turn around. I'm feeling this full moon. I'm on it. Oh, I'm so with you. Yep.
Oh, good. Okay, well, thank you again for joining us. And I really, really appreciate it. And to all of our listeners, again, have a fabulous, fabulous evening. Thanks, Gail.
Thank you. Bye-bye.